great to see you all here today. Thanks, team. Thanks for doing such a great job this morning. And it's good to be joined by some of the members of our recently returned missions team this morning. And this morning is certainly not about just missions. We've got Mission Sunday. We're really going to focus on that. But I just thought we have a great opportunity. I have a great opportunity to talk to these guys a little bit further. And I've just got some thoughts that I really feel are the heart of God for us as a church that I want to express this morning. And I guess, you know, when it comes down to the church, what is the church? You know, sometimes it's just like this vague concept. I think our community really doesn't know what it is. You know, it's funny, when our community, sometimes our society, when it gets negative about the church, it talks about the church. The church does this, and the church should do that, or the church shouldn't be doing this, or whatever. And it's like, you know, what is the church? Well, at the end of the day, it's people, and I want to put a face on it. Just got an opportunity to put a face on it today instead of just talking about it like some esoteric thing out there that's vague and unknowable. The church is just people. It's not a building. It's, you know, it's great to have a nice facility to meet in, but ultimately we're the bricks that God is using to build his house. And so I've asked Stacey and Grant and Sarah to join me once again. And I'm going to talk to them a little bit more about their experience in the Philippines. And they've had no time to prepare this. I just literally said before they walked on, I said, this is what I want to do with you guys this morning. So why don't we just encourage them so that they feel relaxed. And Stacey, for you, you know, you shared how you were moved by how much you had in comparison to people that don't have the quality of life that we have here. And to tell you the truth, I don't think we should ever feel guilty about our quality of life. I just think we have to be good stewards of it. You can't help someone if you have nothing. You understand what I mean? So having things is not the deal. What you do with things is the deal. That's what Jesus always said as he taught and he led people. So I'm just wondering, is there another little incident that happened to you as you were part of things over there that really affected you, touched your heart?
Well, I really love the Compassion Program and what they're doing over there. That was amazing seeing the ins and outs of that. We had this night called the Alumni Night, and we had, I think, like five or six past sponsor children come and share their testimony of what it was like for them to grow up and what they're doing now, and it's so amazing. You know, they're leading so many young people, and they've had opportunity to go to uni because of this sponsorship and the relationships they've had with people. And it just touched me because I was thinking, you know how when we sponsor someone, you go to a table and you pick out which child you like, you know, it's like, oh, which one do you think I'll sponsor? But, you know, God's actually already chosen you, like, to sponsor that person. He's actually chosen you for that child that is chosen. And it just made me realize God's in control of it all. Like, he knows exactly what my little Connie Jane's going to be like when she grows up, and how he's going to use her to impact the world. And he's using me to use her.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah, something that just came to me listening to those testimonies that night. Yeah.
Awesome.
God's in control.
Yeah, great stuff. How about you, Grant? Was there like something particular that you saw or that you're involved in that you just, you know, when you're on the mission field like that, you're out of your, I think it's because you're out of your usual. It breaks your mindset because you're out of your depth and you're just in the unfamiliar. And there's moments on teams and treks like that where you just realize you're in a moment, like something's happening right now. What about for you, mate, something that affected you?
So we were split up on the Sunday and we went to different churches. And towards the end of the day, we went to a feeding program where the church is sponsored and gets food from people, and they make sandwiches and stuff and then go to the streets and feed kids and tell them about Jesus. And I was sort of just sitting there watching, sitting back, seeing what they were doing, and it really impacted me because these people had nothing, but they were still willing to give what they can, and they were teaching these kids about God just on the street. It was sort of just like a little kids program that we have here, which was awesome to see.
So how did that affect you? What was the, like, obviously you were moved by it. Did you make any decisions looking at that?
Yes and no. I sort of, it was just cool to see how these people were still giving back.
Yeah.
Like, they were in the church, but they were giving back to help other people learn about God.
Yeah, great. Good stuff. Thanks, Grant. Sarah, how are you?
Hello.
Good? Yeah.
Good, yep.
Good. What about you? What was a moment where you just found yourself in the moment and you're being affected by what you saw or what you were doing or what others were doing?
There was a few moments, but one moment that definitely really stood out for me was when we went and ministered to this church. It was like in the middle of a slum area. The pastors really didn't have anything, and they insisted to take us to a buffet to feed us because they wanted to just serve and bless us and value us. And it was really hard because we're like, we have so much more to give than you. We want to do that for you. And I guess they stopped us and said, actually, no, because we believe that as we bless and value others, God will provide and value us. And it was just kind of an amazing perspective because we really put our resources into material things, and that's okay. But I guess seeing that as we value other people more than, way more than that, that God actually wants to provide and look after us with all of our needs. And that was really like just impacting and learning to receive from people who don't have anything, even though we're there to actually bless and give.
Yeah.
That was pretty powerful. It's pretty incredible.
Awesome. Humbling.
Very humbling.
Yeah, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, look, thanks, guys. Thank you so much. Let's thank these guys once again, and I'll let you guys go. And I just thought of just an opportunity to hear something, you know, a little bit deeper of what's going on in people's lives. Because whenever you serve Jesus, this is what I found, you can't outgive God. You know, we talk about it with finance, but in all honesty, it's on every level. It doesn't seem to make sense. It's one of those paradoxes where God is able to, you know, put back into you even as you give out. And I think it's that whole thought of, you know, if you think of a body of water, any body of water that's not flowing somewhere becomes stagnant. Any body of water that flows somewhere tends to stay alive. And I think we're a lot the same. You know, we're like that. I think God's created us to flow out into other people. And the fact is that overflow of our lives, it's broader than just missions. I don't want to just talk about missions today, because that flow out of our life, I see it every day I get here. You know, you arrive here early in the morning, it might be 7:15 or 7:30. There are already people here when I get here at that time. There are musicians here who've been here long enough to have unloaded their instruments, set up, tuned up. There's service crew, and then people begin arriving well before everyone else. Cafe crew and kids workers and people who serve in kids are in here during the week, you know, preparing craft, preparing lessons, cleaning rooms, cleaning toys, doing all those things, totally obscure, unseen things. And I look at that and I just think it's just one big overflow of life for the sake of others. People don't do that for themselves. You know, I used to be a musician. I'm not allowed to be anymore because apparently I don't play the modern style. Who would have ever thought Garth Brooks would go out of style? Anyway, but you know, it's fun to be on an instrument. It's fun to hold a microphone for the first month. And then it becomes work. And then it becomes commitment and dedication. And then it becomes what you really believe God's put in your heart. You've gifted me, and I want to give outside of myself. I want there to be an overflow of my life towards others. And that's where it ends up. And at the end of the day, you know, I think we are the most like Jesus when we're focused on others. That's the most like Jesus that we are. I think I put it, we're the most like Jesus when we're serving others. That simply. And John chapter 13, verse 5, it's a great Great passage of scripture, great thought from scripture where Jesus actually washes the disciples' feet. It says after that, which was the Last Supper as we understood it, we celebrated communion this morning. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then verse 12 through 14 picks up the rest of the story. 12 through 15. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you all also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And you know, when it comes down to washing the feet of another person, it's not some religious ritual. You see that in some forms and expressions of Christianity. You see that this has been ritualized. But you know what Jesus was doing, it was a Levitical thing, but what Jesus was doing more than anything else was saying, even though I'm your master, I'm still serving you. My heart is to serve humanity. Jesus said that I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That was his mission. It was always about others. That's why I'm saying I think we're the most like Jesus when we're pouring our life out for others. Whereas we live really in a society that's very self-focused and probably affords us opportunities at times out there in society. It's a big thing to volunteer or to serve and to give a very small piece of the pie in one sense so that you can actually feel pretty good about yourself. Whereas I look at Jesus and I look at the early church and it was a lifestyle. It wasn't just it wasn't a fragment, but actually their lives were consumed by giving out to others. And I do believe that there's just something that's formed in our hearts that can only be formed in our hearts. There's experiences that we will only ever have as we give ourselves away. And I sort of think it's got to be that way because Jesus gave himself away. And we're called to be like him. Now, thankfully, we don't need to lay down on a cross like he did. But we do need to make sure that our lives are flowing out towards other people. So this isn't a ritualistic thing. This is a concept that God wants us to get a hold of. Matthew chapter 10 verse 42. Jesus said, "And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." Just given a cup of water away. And, you know, theologians read that verse two different ways. You give someone a cup of water simply because you're a disciple and your heart's been changed. Others say you give a cup of water to a disciple in my name, I'll reward you. Whichever way you read it, it's all about pouring your own life out and going out of your way for another person. But I do think sometimes we hesitate to do it or we pull back from it. Because we don't want to get touched in the Aussie sense of the word. You know what I mean? We don't want to get taken. Because to give your own resources away is a big deal. Whether that's time, whether that's finance, whether that's your gift and your talent, or whatever it might be, that's a big deal. That's a big ask. You know, just this week I was walking home I was on my walk. I think it was Monday. And most Mondays I walk down to a cafe downtown, set my week up, get a thought for the weekend that I want to preach, and then I walk home again. That's my little routine. I'm walking home and I'm going up the street, and I was a bit late because someone met me at the cafe. I had a meeting and so I was running a bit late. It was hot. It was starting to get quite hot. And I'm going along the footpath not far from my place, and I go to pass an old lady who's sort of very elderly lady who's going up the street and sort of struggling along a little bit. And I walked past her and I caught her eye. I just wanted to catch her eye and say hi. I didn't want her to be frightened by this guy walking up behind her. And I said hello. And as I walked past her, I sort of thought, I just sense that there's something wrong with this scenario, you know. So I actually went back and I said, are you okay? And she said, oh, I've just been robbed. I was robbed this week, you know. So someone came in and took a purse off the table and didn't have any money. And I'm like, well, man, I don't carry money either. But what she said was, she was going to the shop to ask them if they would spot her for milk and bread until a pension check came. And I said, you know, have you talked to the police? Yes, I've talked to the police, etc. It's all going to get sorted. I just need to get milk and bread. And so I went through my wallet and all I had was $10 because, like, who carries money anymore? So I gave her $10. I said, well, look, you can get your milk and bread, but if you're comfortable with giving me your name, and I told her I'm the pastor of a church, if you're comfortable with giving me your name, we'll drop you around some groceries and we'll just help you to get more sorted. And I just thought, well, that's what we'll do. We'll do something for the lady. So she was very appreciative and she was still going to go to the shop and get a bread and milk. I said, we'll drop you back the bread and milk. That's fine. You don't even need to go and keep the $10 for something else. Anyway, she said, no, I'll go get it. And I left. I kept walking. I rang Izzy, my PA, and I said, Isabella, there's this lady. I explained the whole thing. Go get a box of groceries. Get a little bit of fresh fruit and a little bit of fresh thing and some processed meat and some milk and bread and just get all that stuff. And here's the address and drop it around there and she's going to meet you back there. Just take a half hour and she'll be home. Anyway, I get a phone call from Izzy and she says, oh, I can't find her. Oh, gee, I shouldn't have. Then I started thinking, now I shouldn't have left her. I shouldn't have left her. And then Izzy goes round the block and she eventually finds her because she's pretty well known at that shopping centre because she's at the Bottle-O all the time. I had two thoughts immediately. The first one was, oh my goodness, I am so unstreetwise now. For a guy who lived for a year on the streets of King's Cross working with street people, I have lost whatever street sense and street cred that I once had because I did not see that coming. That is where Izzy found her because she went in, talked to the groceries and they said, people at the grocery shop, and they said, oh, she'll be in the Bottle-O. She's a regular. And so that's where Izzy found her. We still loved on and we still gave her the thing and whatnot. And who knows whether she got robbed. I have no idea. But, you know, the first thought was how unstreetwise I was. And the second thought I had was I have absolutely no regrets. I actually just thought I would much rather err on the side of compassion than ever allow my heart to just get fearful and harden towards people and their foibles and just retreat into some hard little lump on the inside where compassion no longer dwells. How do you feel about that? Do you feel about the same? Come on, what could you do? And we will check on her this week and make sure she's okay. Maybe we'll verify the story. Maybe she'll even get another box of groceries, courtesy of the church. That's what the church is. And you know what? Jesus healed people that I'm sure he knew before he even healed them they weren't going to thank him. But he still did it. He still did it. Because people are just worth it. You know, people have said at times, and when we've been trying to work on our care ministry at times, we've thought, you know, we pour a lot into the community. We don't see a lot of people come back through that ministry, although we do occasionally see people and they're very, very thankful. But most of the time you don't. It's just like sort of pouring water out on the ground. And next week you pour more water out on the ground. But I think I said it last week, or I might have said it on Wednesday night. I think the issue is that we've made a decision that God loves people, and so should we. Why would you do that? Why would you throw resource? Why would you pour yourself out into people who don't care and who won't ever respond? Because God does. He makes the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. On those who give him thanks and those who use the air that he gives them to curse his name, he blesses them just the same. Because that's just who God is. And I think we need to be children of the light. We need to be children of our Heavenly Father too. You know, the hard heart, the consumeristic heart, which is really what our society, I think, tries to get us to embrace, because there's money in that. The more people embrace a consumeristic way of thinking and a consumeristic heart and a self-centered, this is about me, the more you do that, the more things you can sell them. That's why our society operates that way, but it's the opposite to Scripture. And there's a couple of passages in Scripture that are really harsh on a particular individual called Esau. And Esau, in the book of Hebrews, it says that he was a profane person who, for a morsel of bread, sold his birthright. The book of Romans actually says that God, it's quoting the Old Testament, saying, Esau, I have hated this particular individual. And it's like, whoa, for eating a bowl of stew, for eating a bowl of porridge. But the whole thought behind it is it's not the individual, it's the spirit behind it of consumer rather than contributor. If you look at the kingdom of heaven, everything about God is contribution. Everything about God is productivity. Just think of creation that we live in. This is amazing. God created it, produced it, gave out of himself and yet was not diminished, and gave us something. And then this something that he's given us, if you think about it, continues to produce and reproduce. The team would have seen it up in the Philippines somewhere, probably, where somewhere on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere there'll be a beautiful mango tree. And no one particularly owns it, but everyone enjoys the fruit. And all over the earth, you know, there's trees right now where fruit is just falling to the ground and rotting. Because that's how God has made it to be. It just produces and reproduces. And without even wanting that tree or that shrub or that bush, without even wanting it to reproduce, it's going to anyway. Sometimes you have to pull things out to stop them growing. Because that's the spirit of the kingdom of heaven. It's productive and it's contribution. It's continuously giving rather than just consuming. So it's not the individual that was hated. It's the spirit of consumerism that is self-focused that God hates. And so, and I guess, you know, when it comes to us and giving outside of ourselves, I can't think of a better little story, because sometimes, you know, we could talk about big things, but it's not always in the big things. This is a story that is as old as the hills. Most of us may have heard it, but for those who haven't, it's still worth telling. It's a good story. It's a story about an old man that is walking along a beach after a storm had blown through the night before. And as he's walking along the beach, he can see down the shoreline and can see a little boy who's walking towards him. And every now and then, the little boy stops and faces the ocean and then throws something out into the ocean. And as the old man's walking along, he comes into a big patch. As he's walking towards the boy, all of a sudden he comes across all these starfish that are washed up on the beach, thousands of them. Thousands of them. He's walking this 100, 200 meters towards the boy, and he can't step over them. There's so many. The little boy's walking towards him, stopping every now and throwing one back. Anyway, the old man eventually gets to the boy, and he says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I'm throwing these starfish back, because they'll never survive if someone doesn't throw them back." And the old guy says to him, "Don't you realize that you are never going to put a dent in this? There's thousands of them, and tomorrow there'll probably be just as many more. So you're not going to make a difference." And the little boy picked a starfish up and said, "I'm going to make a difference to this one," and threw it back in. And it comes back to that thought that we can't do everything, but everyone can do something. And it's not just a matter of, I'm not rallying support. That's why I'm not talking about anything in particular today. You notice that this isn't a call to serve on a crew. This isn't a call to go on a missions team. This is none of that. This is a call to be the kind of human beings that Jesus wants us to be. Just to give outside of ourselves, because God does. and not just to be thinking, where do I get that? How do I get this? How do I pull this into my life? What's in it for me? That kind of thinking, but actually, how can I reach out and bless another? How can my life flow somehow towards a need or towards a person, towards a situation where what God's done in me can actually bring healing and release and relief and encouragement and even finances or even resources, whatever is needed to make a difference, to make a difference. I want to read that passage of scripture I read earlier in another version just as I close today. And let me see. Yeah, it's that passage on the cup of water, and I want to read it from the Message, which means I've got to read a little bit more of the story. But this is how the Message translation puts that passage in Matthew. This is a large work I've called you into, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice, and you won't lose out on a thing. And I just love the way Eugene Patterson, that's the guy who translated that, I love the way he puts that. It'll make you a true apprentice. You know that apprentice is probably the closest English word that we can get to disciple. It's probably the closest word that carries the true concept of a learner, a student who learns from someone who's more experienced. That's what disciple means. Someone who's a learner, a student who learns from someone who's further down the track. And this is what Eugene is saying, like you'll be a true apprentice. You'll be a true disciple if you just learn to do this. Just start small, just give out. And I know so many give out. So for those who give out, the great bulk of us, thank you, and don't stop. Realize this is how God changes us. This is how God births his heart in us so that we begin to think like him and act like him. So whatever role you are, there's young mums here, and honestly, that is your ministry. That's it. Your whole world is this big because those kids are so demanding. Well, recognize you serve them the way that you do Jesus. Teachers that are teaching kids in classes all over this city, business owners and operators, people who employ people, and actually your business gives people a job. You're actually serving them as unto God. You're being that productive tree that just keeps producing fruit. Thank you. And if you're here today and you've never thought about that, man, that my life needs to flow somewhere, can I just encourage you? Just start with a small thing, even just literally, Jesus said it this way, given a cup of cold water, which I'm sure in Middle Eastern culture was a pretty big deal when you live in arid regions. It's a big deal in one thing, but it was something that was accessible to many. So just do something to start the flow going out of your life towards people, and you will be a true apprentice of the Master too. Amen. Could we all stand together? Because I'd like to pray for us today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, that as we gather as your people, we the church, we're here because we want to be like you. It's pretty simple. We want to follow you. We want to be like you. We want to be part of your plan. And I just pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that as we give out and beyond to others, Lord, that our heart, we just understand in our heart, we're being just a little bit like our Heavenly Father when we do that, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, that all of us, Father, would have a week where we are mindful of just allowing our lives to overflow towards others. In Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend, if you're here and you've never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, you might be just visiting, you might be with friends or family, and that's cool. You're very, very welcome here. But maybe if you've never opened your heart to Jesus, I just want to speak to you for a moment while every head's bowed and every eye is closed. God loves you. God has a plan and a purpose for you. This morning we've already celebrated communion, the fact that God reached out to us. He's reached out to humanity through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's not just for the church, the people who go to church. That's for all of humanity. And maybe you're here today and you've never really opened your heart to Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. In the last moments of this service, I'm going to get the media team to put a prayer up on the screen. It's a very simple prayer. It's a prayer of commitment. It's a prayer asking for God's forgiveness for the things that we've all done that we're less than proud of. The Bible calls that sin. Jesus wants to forgive that. It's a prayer saying, come into my life, because God wants to lead you. God wants to literally come into your life and begin to speak to your heart, speak to you on the innermost part of your being. And if you want that today, then I want to give you the opportunity. In a few moments' time, we're all going to pray this prayer together. But if you're here and you've never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, but you know you want to today, I want to give you the opportunity to. So while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, if you're here and you just know you need Jesus today, I'm not going to prolong this, but you're here and you just know, I need Jesus in my life today. Would you just raise your hand right where you are? I'll acknowledge it and you can put it straight down. But right here in this place this morning, you know that you need Jesus Christ in your life. As I said, I won't prolong it. Just going to look around real quick. Then we're all going to pray this prayer together. But if that's you, friend, this is your opportunity. Yep, that's fantastic. God bless you, mate. I see you. That's awesome. Others in this place, just in the last moment, come on, if that's you, and you just know you need Jesus in your life, we're going to pray together. Cool. Why don't you look to the screen with me, and we're going to pray this prayer. And if you've responded, if I saw your hand, or even if I didn't, if you responded, then just make this prayer your own. It's a very simple prayer. It's very similar to a prayer I prayed 30 years ago, and it changed my life because I was genuine. And I just encourage you, pray it authentically and God will meet you. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. Amen. Why don't we just encourage those folk who made a decision to follow Jesus this morning?